we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking through this series. The idea is that the Holy Spirit is within you. And so it's good for us to know who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit's doing. Today we're going to cover three kind of, if you want to, job descriptions of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is actually doing. God bless you. You got your money's worth on that one. John chapter 14, 16 and 17 is where we start. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Then I will ask my Father, and he will give you another helper. He will be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him. It does not see him or know him. But you know him because he lives with you and will be within you." This is a wonderful promise that Jesus is giving. I mean, he's about to leave, but he's telling his disciples, don't be concerned and don't be worried. Don't be full of fear. I'm going to go away, but it's a good thing that I'm going away. Because the plan from the very beginning is that I will go away and then I will send you another helper, one, an exact replica of who I am, yet he will be in you, he will be with you. This was actually prophesied from the Old Testament. I will replace your heart of stone with a heart of flesh, that the very presence of God that was in the tabernacle, reserved for the Holy of Holies, was designed, the ultimate plan, is that Christ would come, die for our sins, come back from the dead, ascend into heaven, and then send, by virtue of his ability to do so, he would have the authority to send us the helper. This is why he'd say, it's good that I'm going away because I'm limited to time and space, but the Holy Spirit will be with you and will be in every single one of you. Where Jesus would be in one place, the Holy Spirit can be all places. This was the plan from the very beginning. And I have good news for you today. If you've accepted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. If you have accepted Christ, what if it were left up to you? Like Jesus ascended up into heaven and then he looked down at them and he said, well, good luck. Y'all take it from here. We'd be in deep trouble. What if you only had yourself to rely on? You just had to read the Bible and do your best. But Jesus said, I'm not leaving you an orphan. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to be with you forever and I'm going to live on the inside of you. I'm sending you another helper means you need help. And any person who tries to live the Christian life without help needs help. These are miserable people indeed. Have you ever met somebody just trying to serve God on their own? Just bless God, I'm going to do it. No, you're not. No, you're not going to do it on your own. You cannot do it. There's no religious effort that's going to do it. There's no attempt that's going to do it. There's no trying. There's no pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's not the intention of God. He wants us to lean on him, filled with his Spirit, letting him guide us and letting him provide for us, totally leaning, dependent upon him. I'm going to send you another helper. Matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples, they were all excited. He was back from the dead. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until I send you help. What's he saying to us? Don't try this Christian life without the helper. But I'm going to send a helper, and when he comes, he's going, man, you're going to be endued with power, and you're going to be my witnesses. And this is the way that you're going to do it. You're going to do it the way that I've planned it out from the very beginning and orchestrated it. You'll have the helper, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you. Now, here's what's great. Before we just get into these three things that the Holy Spirit does, I'm just laying the groundwork. Remember, the three are distinct in personality. And yet one. When Jesus was baptized, he comes out of the water. The Son is in the water. And he is baptized, he comes out of the water, and the Holy Spirit comes down, descending on him like a dove. That's the Holy Spirit. And then the Father speaks from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Son is God, but he's not the Spirit or the Father. The Father is God, but he's not the Son or the Spirit. And the Spirit is God. Are you following me? But he's not the Son and he's not the Father. They're distinct, but they're unified. When you were a kid, did you ever pit your parents one against the other? Like you go into one and say, hey, can I do so-and-so? You know, there's usually always one like pushover parent, and then there's one Nazi. You don't go to that one. You always go to the pushover parent. You go pushover parent first. They're always like, oh, yeah. And then you go to the Nazi and say, pushover parent said this is great, right? And even if they didn't, even if you go to one parent and they say, I don't know, ask your mother. They go to the other parent and say, Dad said it was awesome, great, and fine. He's willing to pay for it all. Said you had some money you wanted to give me for it. When my kids come to me talking about mom said, I'm like, oh, no, you don't. We pulled this one way back in the 80s. I know about this trick. You can pit your parents one against the other. You come into the house, and have you ever done this when you were a kid? You're like gauging whether or not you can ask right now. What kind of a mood are they in right now? Oh, Dad's happy. I'm dropping the question. Right, but if they're mad, you're just like, no, we're not doing that today. What is my point? I know you're asking that question. The point is, the Trinity is always in unity, perfect harmony, preferring one another, and they always know what's up with the other. You can't talk to the Holy Spirit about, don't tell Jesus this. All right, Jesus can know, but don't tell the Father about this. I'd rather he didn't know. You know how he gets. They're never in competition with one another. They're never jealous of one another. As a matter of fact, they always prefer one another. There's a corporate humility among the Trinity, if you can believe that. The powers that rule and created the universe have a corporate humility, always striving to serve one another and make one another greater than they are. Because humility isn't just a trait that God wants us to have, it's one that he is. He knows who he is. He's confident in who he is. And you can be humble when you know who you are. He knows who he is. And there's this corporate humility, preferring one another, always in unity. A beautiful thing, the Trinity, and a beautiful picture of what the church should and could be. So John chapter 14, Jesus continues here. Actually, Philip is talking here. Philip said, Lord, talking to Jesus, show us the Father. And that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority, Jesus said. But rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Wasn't it the Holy Spirit that hovered over Mary? And she conceived because of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the scripture say that Jesus went about doing good, filled with the Holy Spirit? Everything that Jesus ever did, he never did it on his own authority or on a whim just because he wanted to. How did he know what to say? How did he know where to go? How did he know that the water would hold him up when he went walking across it? All of that was the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not because Jesus had some superhuman body, which some people mistakenly think, well, he's Jesus. I mean, he can do anything. No, no, no. Scripture teaches that Jesus was fully man. He slept. He woke up. He ate. He had flesh and blood just like us. But yet he was filled with the Spirit, and it was by the Spirit. He said, I've been with you so long, and you don't know the Father? You want to see the Father? If you've seen the Father, I mean, you've seen me, and you've been around me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God is like if he's one of us? Look at Jesus. Because he's the perfect example. In times past, God spoke through prophets. and he spoke through different things. But in these current times in Hebrews, it says he speaks through one. The exact replica of the Father is Jesus. You don't need to ask what the Father is like. You just look at Jesus and you have it. You don't need to ask what is the Spirit like. You could look at Jesus. But how is it that Jesus did all of these things? What is the Spirit of God living in him? Has there ever been any human being better led by the Holy Spirit than Jesus? Not only was he led by the Spirit, but this is the key. He always obeyed on the first time. Wouldn't that be a dream if the people in your house lived according to that rule? I'm not talking about you or me. I'm talking about them. You know what I'm talking about? Man, our life would be easier if they'd just get it right the first time. But Jesus always did. Jesus did not go about his life with some superhero power, doing whatever he wanted. That is not true. I don't speak on my own authority, he said, but I wait to hear what the Father is going to say, and the Father is using the Holy Spirit to speak to me, and then I'm telling you. Perfect unity in the Trinity. The fact is that God's work on the earth is carried out by the Holy Spirit. When you were little and they said you need to ask Jesus into your heart, then you thought to yourself, I'm going to get this little Jesus into my heart. But then all my friends, they got a little Jesus in their heart too. Well, how many Jesuses are there? Well, theologically, we understand that when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes in. And it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work of the Father on the earth. The Father is on the throne, receiving glory. And Jesus is said to be at his right hand, ever interceding for you. Jesus is praying for you right now. And who's answering the prayers of Jesus? The Holy Spirit, who searches all the things, even the things of God, to bring them to you. God's ambassador on the earth is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I have good news for you. The Holy Spirit has clocked in and is not going to clock out. He is always at work. The Holy Spirit's at work in your life right now. As a matter of fact, there is proof that the Holy Spirit is at work. Just the fact that you're here is proof that he's working. And he never stops working. He's at work. But what does he do? When the Holy Spirit goes to work on the earth, here's some of the things that he does. But we'll find them here in John 16. John 16, 8 through 14 says this. Now, when the Helper comes, he will show the world the truth about sin. He will show the world about being right with God. He will show the world what it is to be guilty. He will show the world about sin because they don't put their trust in me. And he will show the world about being right with God because I go to my Father and you're not going to see me anymore. The Holy Spirit is coming. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak his own words. He will speak what he hears. He will glorify me, Jesus said. He will receive what is mine and will tell it to you. Here, Jesus is describing what the Holy Spirit's going to do. I'm going away. I'm going to send you a helper. And all the boys are thinking, what does that mean? And what is the Holy Spirit going to do? There's a few things mentioned here among others, but I'll just mention three. First of all, the Holy Spirit is gathering people to God. I won't even like to think about the world without the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's God's presence on the earth. The source of joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. You think the world is messed up and dark? You should imagine that world without the Holy Spirit, without the presence of God. The Holy Spirit's job is gathering people. The Holy Spirit's job is gathering people to God. You're proof of that today. Do you know the process that it took to get you to go to church, to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? How many of you are stubborn like me? Okay, a few of you are honest. There was a process of you coming to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was intimately involved in that entire process. For some of us, breaking us down to the point, persuading, convincing, convicting of sin. You know why it bothers you when you sin? It's not because you're good. It's not because you're naturally holy. It's because the Holy Spirit is in your life and there's that ability to convict of sin. And conviction is wonderful. It's better than condemnation because conviction always provides a way out. The Holy Spirit is gathering people to God, saying there's a better way than the way that you're living. There's a way towards forgiveness. Convicting us of sin, saying, yes, yes, you are a sinner, and what are you going to do with that sin? But there's Jesus, and he can take all of your sin. There's a reason you're convicted about your sin. It's because the Holy Spirit is gathering people to God, telling them what it means to get right with God. There's people in your family right now who you're concerned about because they don't yet know Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is doing far more work than you'll ever do to get them to come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit puts them on your heart and you pray for them. But the Holy Spirit is the one that sets all the other circumstances up to get them to know who Jesus is. I've watched some people in my family who were, how do I say this online when they might hear it, hard cases. You have anybody in your family who's like, yeah, I mean, pretty much anybody can follow Jesus, but not that one. Those are the ones that the Holy Spirit brings because he's a gatherer. Do you remember how he gathered you? Do you remember the process? People were praying for you, and then someone invited you somewhere, and maybe somebody gave you a bottle of water somewhere. You just started, you remember that process where you're actually considering, maybe I'll do that, maybe I'll go to church, maybe I'll have the conversation. God put someone in your life. All of that orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. The fact that you're even in church today on Father's Day, man, that's the Holy Spirit is working in your life. I have to admit to you that I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, and I was like, all these people every weekend, he said, they just kind of come on their own, huh? I'm like, yeah, nobody forces them to. It's amazing. I always come out, and I'm like, wow, you're here again. Awesome. Think about that. That's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit honors God's word and wants us to gather. And it's not good that we forsake coming together. So the Holy Spirit wants you here. And on the inside, you might not even be aware of this, but there's a desire on the inside of you to be around brothers and sisters in Christ, to be exhorted, to be encouraged so that you can go out and be a missionary full of strength. There's a desire to worship God. There's a desire to give. There's this desire that you have. All of that comes not because you're a good person and you're from the east side or the west side or, you know, none of the, or your family's this way. No, that's evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life, bringing you, gathering you. I just want to encourage you. You might worry about the state of the world, but let me just remind you, the Holy Spirit is good at gathering people to God. The Holy Spirit is gathering right now today, people to God. There are people in Cincinnati who don't yet know God, and the Holy Spirit is gathering and gathering. I can't tell you the number of people I've had in a newcomer's reception who tell me, I haven't been to church in like 20, I think he said 30 years. And he said, it's not really like me to be standing here talking to a preacher, but I just, and he couldn't put into words, like, man, there's something going on and I want it, and I'm thinking, and I just said, well, just keep coming back. But what do I know? Man, you're getting got by the gatherer. This is a person who's standing there saying, I don't usually talk like this and I don't usually talk to preachers, but here I am at church and I actually really like that and I want to come back. And he's kind of looking at me like, can you help me out? Nope. You're screwed. Your whole life's about to change in an awesome, glorious, wonderful way. God's got his hand on you. God has figured it out. I love seeing that. And then I love just kind of standing there like, with this knowing, like, yep, it's going to be good. Not only is the Holy Spirit gathering, but the Holy Spirit is guiding. I love a GPS, man. Isn't that awesome? Satellites telling you where to go. But I turn the voice off on any, because I don't want you to tell me where to go. Just show me. Am I right? Come on, turn left. No, that isn't going to work. I can get that from the back seat or seat. I mean, no. Be careful. It's Father's Day. I can say what I want. Sometimes my wife is a helper when I drive, okay? Sure, that doesn't happen in your life. But that GPS, man, that's fantastic. I mean, it just tells you, you just turn as long as you got the right information in there. Because you can end up going 3 hours away to Domino's. That's not cool. The app that I use actually has, it'll tell you where construction is. It'll reroute your path if you need it to. It'll even tell you where the police are at. Say, what do you need that for? I just pray for them, bless them in Jesus' name, where they're at. The Holy Spirit is your guide. Now, this is a part of our Christian life where you might be just beginning in your walk with Jesus. You have a guide living on the inside of you. Let the peace of God guard your heart and mind means let the Holy Spirit act as an umpire, his peace telling you you're safe or you are out. When you first start living for Jesus, you realize you have a guide. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice, and another's they will not know. He intends for you to hear him every single day. He doesn't intend for us to live this life on our own, but we have a guide on the inside telling us a voice will call from behind you and telling you left or right. I would not want to serve Jesus without this internal witness, this guide, this helper. And you can grow in this awareness of the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you. It is an unfair advantage in business if you have the Holy Spirit and the people around you do not. Because the Holy Spirit goes before you and then the Holy Spirit reports to you. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to go on. Here's what you can say. And in Scripture it actually says you don't need to worry about what you're going to say before they deliver you up. But the moment that you're there, if you don't know what to do and you don't know what to say, in that moment the Holy Spirit will give you the words. This is quite a deal. I've had this happen. I don't know if you've had this happen or not. You got a situation you're dealing with, and you just don't really know what you're going to do or what you're going to say, but you just trust, Lord, you're going to go with me. And you go into that situation, and then all of a sudden, you hear yourself saying things that are more brilliant than you ever dreamed you were. Have you ever said anything that you thought, dang, that was good? And then you know, I need to write that down. I'm going to forget that. Because that was the Holy Spirit giving you the words, giving you the wisdom. Every parent in the house, every father in the house, this is what you have on the inside. Wisdom to know how to deal with each of your kids uniquely and each situation uniquely. Because one situation, wisdom is applied and is knowledge applied in many different varied ways. It's not just pat answers. The Holy Spirit knows everything about the situation. The Holy Spirit will guide you and give you words, and we can grow in this. The Holy Spirit, when you're in Kroger, you see a person, and the Holy Spirit says, buy their groceries. And you say to yourself, well, I mean, is that me? Is that the Holy Spirit? I know that's not me, because there's nothing in me that says, hey, you want all my money? Great. There you go. That's got to be the Holy Spirit. And as he guides you, you start to follow that prompt. And you follow the prompt and you'll get it right and you'll know. And you'll follow a prompt and you might get it wrong. But how exciting is this for the Father? And what father doesn't love it when their children obey them even when they haven't told them what to do? I've never had that happen, have you? Like they just preemptively just take out the trash. Dad thought you might just want that to happen, so we did it without you asking 14,000 times. What if we obey the Father and we didn't hear him quite right? How pleased would he be to see us attempting that even if I think I hear a whisper from the Spirit, yes, I'm doing that, Father. Go over to your neighbor and have a conversation. Yes, Lord. Give this. Yes, Lord. Bless that person. Yes, Lord. Cross over to the kitchen, apologize to your wife. Yes, Lord. go and have this conversation with. Do that. I mean, we have a guide on the inside, and we can grow in our awareness of this guidance that we have. This is one of the, I think, one of the secret joys of serving Jesus. And I don't hear it talked about a whole lot. But we are all called to be Spirit-led Christians. That's how you're led. You are led by the Spirit of God. That's why every morning when you open the Scriptures, there's an affirmation on the inside. There's an amen on the inside. And you say, if you're like me, I don't pray for intellectual knowledge. I pray, Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to know and what you want me to see. And as you show me what you want me to see and hear, I'm actually going to grow, and you're going to help me. It's going to encourage me. It's going to strengthen me. You're going to guide me. You're going to show me the things that Jesus said. I have this internal guide. And this is something that we grow in. Romans 8:14 says it this way: for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. When you accept Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, you have one that will lead you and guide you. I'm questioning, how can I be more led by your Spirit, Lord? How can I be really guided by your Spirit? I'll give you one example, and this has to work its way out in our everyday life. And it's fun to go and walk every day with the Lord and watch him guide and lead you. I had one time about 20 years ago, I was leading this youth ministry, and there was one particular student that was giving me trouble. And so I had this meeting with the parents of this student. And the parents didn't seem to care for me too much, and I didn't really like their kid that much either, to be honest with you. But I love them in Jesus' name, want them to go to heaven and all that. Just want them to go away from me, you know. So I'm talking to the mom, and the mom says, and she's kind of ticked. She says, this is an example of just having the Holy Spirit give you words, smarter than yourself. She said, well, you have a lot of silly little rules in your youth ministry. I didn't know what to say, and I immediately I said, if the rules are silly and little, then your child should have no problem following them. I said, hang on, I got to write that down. Dude, that was good. That was so good, I know it's not me. It's just wisdom in that moment. You said, you think Jesus will help me be a smart aleck too? No, wisdom for the moment. Wisdom, that where you can see things more clearly. You might be in a situation right now that's all knotted up and you don't know the answer. But you can confidently say to the people in your family and the people around you, even though this is a knotted up situation, I have the greater one living on the inside of me, and he is going to show me the way out. He's going to give me wisdom. He's going to enlighten my mind. He's going to show us the way out. He's going to tell us the way to go, and we are going to follow what he says. He is our guide. Jesus promised that you would have one on the inside that's an advocate, a helper, to come alongside you and to give you wisdom and help, to give you the words and to guide you. You should just say to your family, this is a Spirit-led family right here. Our house is filled with the Spirit. Our cars are filled with the Spirit. Our dog is filled with the Spirit. Well, I don't know if you could say that. And we are being led by the Spirit of God. God is guiding us. Sometimes you feel it and sometimes you don't. But the fact of the matter is, if you're open to his guidance, he's guiding you. So Lord, guide us as a church. Guide me as an individual. Guide our families. Guide us. Lead on, and we will follow you, Lord. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. How did Jesus get into the wilderness? Not on his own. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And when he went into the wilderness, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, out in the elements. Can you imagine being out in the elements in the wilderness with no food for 40 days and 40 nights? Can you imagine being in your backyard for one night without a tent? Because you get a tent, and then you're like, well, I just have my laptop out here, and then pretty soon your house is outside. He was just totally outside trusting God, 40 days and 40 nights and no food. And then to top it all off, Satan came. So this trip just really got scary, right? But he did not fear. And then the Lord sent angels afterwards and ministered to him. He did not fear because God had led him there. Since God brought me here, this is what we need to say in every situation. I'm spirit-led. Since God led me here, I don't have to fear. God put you where you are right now. And if he didn't put you where you are right now, then you just get open to him and he'll put you where he wants you to be. But for right now, it would benefit all of us to say, well, Lord, it's an Illinois term, I reckon you brought me here. You brought me here, and since you've led me here, I don't have to fear anything. Even if you lead me into the wilderness, you're going to provide for me. You're going to provide for me. Wherever you guide, you provide. You have led me to this place. And since I'm led by you and I'm open to you, I don't have to fear. This job that I'm in, you led me here, Father. Thank you for this job. For some of you, need to taste those words in your mouth. Thank you, Father. Lord, you put me in this family I'm in. Thank you for these crazy people in my family. I fit in perfectly. Thank you, Lord. This situation I'm in, thank you. You brought me here, and since you brought me here and you led me here, I don't have to fear. I'm in Cincinnati, Lord. Thank you for Cincinnati. What a wonderful city. We're here, and we love you, and we're thankful. And since you led us here, we don't have to fear. Here's the last thing. The Holy Spirit guides, the Holy Spirit gathers, but the Holy Spirit, you need to know this, the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit is always glorifying Jesus. I'm fascinated by the Trinity in this way. They're always preferring one another. Isn't this a wonderful, it feels like a checks and balances to me. That they're always preferring one another. In Philippians, Paul writes, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. But instead, he came in the form of a servant, a human being, and became obedient. He learned suffering through the things that he obeyed, and he was willing to obey even to death on the cross. And because he was willing to do that, what did the Father do? The Father gave him a name which is above every other name. The name of Jesus is above every other name. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. The name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow of those on earth and those in heaven and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why was he given this name? He was given this name from the Father because the Father glorified the Son. And then the Son was in the garden saying, not my will, but yours be done. And then the Spirit is always talking about the Son, talking about the Word, talking about the truth. So they prefer one another in this way. I love this about the Trinity. It's a perfect picture of that corporate humility that we're to have as Christ's body. What if you took every gift that the Holy Spirit has given you and said, it's not about me, it's about him. And it's not only about him and his kingdom, but it's about you. I want to leverage every gift I've been given by God to bless people and glorify God. How about you? Isn't that thrilling? That's life. To leverage every single gift you've been given just to bless other people and to bless the Father. And this is a perfect picture of what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit's never speaking anything on his own authority, but he's only speaking what the Father has given him. Jesus never spoke what he wanted, but he always waited and let the Holy Spirit tell him what the Father wanted. And the Father glorifies the Son, and the Son glorifies the man. They all work together. And this is exactly the way it is for us as believers. I believe this is the fulfilling Christian life. To leverage everything we've got for the good of others, for the glory of God. I was having dinner a couple weeks ago, some friends of ours. I didn't ask him if I could use this little story, so I won't say his name, but he's looking at me right now. But this gentleman that we were having dinner with had retired and had been in local government and a job that I considered one that had some authority. And I asked this gentleman, as I ask people when I'm with them and they've retired, I said, how's retirement? How's it going? How you doing? What do you miss? And this gentleman told me of all the things he missed, a lot of the parts about the job he didn't miss. Can I get an amen? But what he did miss was the ability to influence and impact individual lives. And he was telling me stories, and he was getting emotional about the stories of times where they had touched individual lives and ministered to people. And now he's heavily involved in the healing center. Why? Because you're looking for a way to leverage those gifts the Holy Spirit has given you to bless other people and to glorify God. And that is evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because that's the only thing the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit is not ever saying, look at me. The Holy Spirit is saying, look to the Word, look to Jesus, look to the Father. Aren't they wonderful? When you talk to Jesus, he said, have you met my Father? And when you talk to the Father, he said, can you believe? Let me show you some pictures of my son right here. That's the way he wants us to be as a church. Filled with his Spirit. And taking every gift that he's given us and just leveraging it for the blessing of other people, for the furtherance of his kingdom and for his glory. Would you stand with me? And we'll pray before we go. Thanks, Mom. My mom was giving me a golf clap. Father's Day. Isn't it exciting that we can be led by the Spirit of God? That we're not left orphans? But Jesus said, I've got a helper for you. I just want fresh revelation, if you will, a fresh infilling of that Spirit, that helper. How many of you would admit the people around you need help? It's easier that way. So let's pray for them. Father, we just pray for the folks around us. And God, we pray seriously for ourselves. We want more of your Holy Spirit in our lives. I really do love when you sense that guiding of the Holy Spirit. I get worried, Lord, because I know I just don't get it right. It feels like, how could I get such a spiritual thing correct? But help us to grow in that. Help us to step out of maybe even what's comfortable, but anytime we even think we might hear you, Lord, that we would just obey. God, we want you to hear us say today that we agree with your plan. You're a plan to fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is gathering people. We thank you your Holy Spirit is guiding people. We thank you, Father, that we can be a part of glorifying you and building your church. Be with us in a special way this week. Now we go to our different places of employment and our ministry positions, Lord, and every single one of us in full-time ministry going out as missionaries. So anoint us with your Holy Spirit to do so in a way that pleases you and attracts others. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Happy Father's Day. Have a great week.